Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm calling the regular meeting of council to order on July 25th, 2019 at 7 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Phoebe.
Present.
And Councilman Christopher Holland.
Present.
To start our meeting this evening, Lord, as we gather today at this meeting, we ask that you be in our midst. We meet to serve our community, to use our resources wisely and well, being productive to represent all members of our community, to make decisions that promote the common good and are pleasing to you. We recognize our responsibility to the past and the future, and the rights and needs of both individuals and community. Help us to be able to discuss matters at hand in a reasonable way, and to be willing to give up what we do for ourselves, but do what is meaningful for others. As trusted servants, we seek blessings on our deliberations and on our efforts here this evening as we do the work set before us. Amen.
Amen.
Before we start our business this evening, we have additional ordinances that were brought after the agenda was issued, so I would entertain an amendment to the agenda to include ordinances 2019-61 and 2019-62.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
I would move to amend our agenda to include ordinance number 2019-61 and ordinance number 2019-62.
Second.
I have motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Phoebe to amend this evening's agenda to include ordinances 2019-61 and 2019-62. Are there any discussions on the motion?
Madam President, you bring this up because we had an email from the mayor requesting this, and they're both time sensitive. They're both urgent matters, and amending the agenda makes sense for us to do at this time. We can discuss it in more detail as we get to the legislation, I believe.
Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Bebig?
Yes.
Hollum?
Yes.
Tonight's agenda has been amended to include ordinances 2019-61 and 2019-62. The next is the disposition of the journal for the regular council meeting of July 11, 2019.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular council meeting of July 11, 2019.
Second.
I have motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of July 11, 2019. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, there's one word that I asked our clerk to clarify in page 21. My comment was that's a personnel matter that I'd rather not discuss publicly rather than personal matter, and it's a very important distinction between the two. So I did ask her to amend that. It's a simple. I don't think it substantially changes the minutes, but I did want to clarify that it's personnel, not personal. Thank you.
Thank you. Sometimes it's difficult, especially if people aren't speaking into the mics and or speaking fastly to do the translation. So
I agree.
Vicki does an excellent job at
she
doing
does.
That. So.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you.
And Madam President, along those lines, I can tell you that I spoke with a resident earlier today who said, when I listen into the council meeting, sometimes you are the only council person I can hear because you go right into the mic. And our sound system has been antiquated, so if we could remember to speak as closely into the mic as possible. Residents are listening in. They deserve to hear our discussion. So I know it's a bit of an imposition, but he asked me if I would remind everyone, and I promised I would.
Thank you. Vicki, will you call the roll on adopting the minutes?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Bebig?
Yes.
Hollum?
Abstain.
The regular council meeting minutes of July 11, 2019 have been adopted. The next is our mayor's report. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Special thanks to our state representative, Jamie Callender, who presented the city with the combination of congratulations for 65 years being the city. We're going to get this framed and we'll hang it somewhere in the city hall so everybody can see it. Updates on paving. Paving in the Glens, Trailard, Mayfire, and Glengate has been completed, except they have to do the berm still, but it's very nice to ride on finally, and it's they did a very good job. They started with the recycling. I got some emails. They thought it was done, but it was not, and they finished today with the final paving. The Dodd Road Stabilization Project and Road Resurfacing Project, the stabilization is nearly done. They painted the wall today, and it looks really nice. Instead of a guardrail, there's a wall maybe 3.5-4 feet tall that's spans a whole area. So that will be open fairly soon, I hope. We're going to be paving then later. It's on the agenda tonight to approve the contract for Carbo, and they're, by that portion of the road, they're moving it 8 feet over, so it's a little bit more security for people driving on the road. We've completed the sergeant interviews and for the position, and we offered it to Patrol Officer Henry Boppel. He will be sworn in tomorrow at 3:30. So if everybody wants to come, we'll do it right here in the council chambers. Work on the substation is complete now, and the substation is now operating like, I don't want to say normally, but it's operating, and we're going to have a ribbon cutting probably the 8th of August, but that's still not confirmed yet. So they are using it, and all of the features in it are workable. There's a good resolution to the recent event at Willoughby Hills Towers. We continue to pray for the victims and who are recovering in the hospital, and the perpetrator was in court today, and Jim could probably tell you about that. Todd Cipolla was sworn in as the new city prosecutor to replace Michael Germano, who resigned last month. I know he'll do a good job for us, as he did in Mayor's Court. Once again, I would request council to follow up on my ordinance for Campbell Park and the Grange security. When the changes were made to the dispatch center, the OC has necessitated these changes to the ordinance to reflect the new way we're doing that. The signed CRA has been provided to produce packaging. They're moving forward with the next step with the State of Ohio Department of the Director of Development. Good news, the Shell gas station is open. It opened at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it looks great. So I know it'll probably be real busy, but it's very nice and should be able to get in and out of there real smoothly. The BAT team has not met recently, but continues to work on the business listings so we can get going with that. The administration continues to work on the employee handbook and most recently received information from PEP, our insurance carrier, on the free assistance on this project. We will follow their advice for a nice, acceptable product and present to council when complete. Again, I do not support 2019-54 for an outside vendor to charge us over $6,000 to oversee our writing of the handbook when our insurance carrier has a tool that they'll do at no cost to us. Whisper found the Ohio State's report of unfunded allegation, our Whisper program. I presented to counsel, the law director, safety department heads, and with the Whisper guidelines and procedure manual, which serves to cover concerns identified by counsel during the investigations. I presented to counsel so they can read it and we can have their comments and we can reopen a senior program as soon as possible. Congratulations to Chris Hallam for making the pitch over the plate. He didn't do like I did last year, a bounce before the plate, but he made it across the plate and that was at Wilby Hill State at Classic Park. I want to thank everybody that participated in that. My sympathies to the family of Marjorie Slater, a longtime resident who passed away this week. I support the legislation this evening to include fixing the salary for the full-time assistant finance director, the annual uniform allowance for the fire department, accepting the bid of Carbo for the paving and resurfacing project, authorizing the rule renewal with amendments to the ComDoc copier and printer leaks. Okay. The resolution to administratively document the contract rate amendment for trash and recycle with BFI. I also requested the following legislation that didn't make the agenda, which allows us to sell 2014 Dodge Charger for $5,500 and second vehicle in Impala 2010 for $4,900. We want to, instead of using the government surplus, we want to use govdeals.com. So that's a change we need to have in the ordinance. And allowing the last one is allowing the city to opt in the 2019 bridge inspection program, which was requested by our engineer, so that the Pleasant Valley Bridge, the only bridge that we own, gets our annual inspections for free. Upcoming offense, the First Cumberland Church Classic Car Show is Saturday, July 27th from 9 to 3. The citywide garage sale is Saturday, August 3rd. And remember to vote. The Wilby Hills school levy is the only item on the ballot, and it's at your usual location for voting, and that's Tuesday, August the 6th. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I may have misunderstood you. We amended the agenda to add ordinances 61 and 62, and 61 is for Pleasant Valley Road Bridge, and 62 is for the two surplus police vehicles.
Right. That's a three.
Okay.
I said three because the cars.
I thought I heard you say that they didn't make the agenda. They did make the agenda.
Before.
Okay. Okay. Any questions for the mayor?
Madam President, One thing I wanted to ask the mayor, I certainly think govdeals.com is an option that we should explore and use from time to time. I actually bought my car on govdeals.com, and I'm going to enter it in the First Covenant Church car show this Saturday from 9 to 3 p.m. Free for people to come, only $10 to enter, and you don't have to register in advance. So if you want to see a Ford Taurus police interceptor from govdeals.com, I will be entered at the event. But I am aware from our clerk's research that what a lot of cities do in these ordinances is to simply authorize the administration to use any number of different sites. So I'm curious if you've made the decision to exclusively use govdeals.com going forward, or if you'd appreciate maybe adding in all the sites that we've used so that you have the discretion to choose to use any of them going forward. This time we just did GovDeals because that was what you requested, and there was only so much time to draft the legislation. It was last minute, but just something to look to possibly for the future. So I'm curious if that would be an option the administration would want.
I think Jim wants to answer that.
Yeah, that probably falls back on me when this discussion came up as a last-minute item. And the discussion was around the gov.deals, and we talked about whether or not we should open it up for any and all options. And I said, you know what, that's a discussion we probably want to have with council that's a little bit more involved than just these vehicles as to what sites we would want to use. So, you know, maybe that's a discussion at one of the committee meetings that you guys can have as to how far do you want to go? Do you want to use eBay? So it was really my recommendation that they just use that additional, because what happened was they had the vehicle went on the bids. The high bid was like
5,500,
and we had it at 8,000. He tried to give it to them at 5,500, and they wouldn't return the call. So that's why we went back and said we've got to do a new thing. So that really falls on me.
Well, something to look to for the future, because right. We certainly want you to have the discretion to get the highest possible bid price for the city. The second thing that I wanted to ask, I did not get a chance to review the preliminary auditor's report until significantly after you and others, because I was neither the complainant nor was I a subject of the investigation, so I probably was the last person to read it. But I will say your email this morning, as well as your mayor's report at the previous meeting and this mayor's report, you said that the preliminary auditor's report said that the concerns or the allegations were, quote, unfounded, and you actually used quotes. And I have read through the page and a half of the report, and that word's not used, nor any synonym to that word. I mean, what it says, in effect, is that the results are being transferred over for the regular audit. That's when it will be fully considered. The preliminary decision is that there's nothing to investigate or charge criminally further at this time, but the investigation wasn't closed. It was actually rolled into the next audit, and at no point did they say that the Lake County prosecutor was wrong to recommend that it be referred for a criminal investigation to the state auditor's office. So I was curious if there's another memo that uses the word unfounded or has other statements, because the preliminary auditor's report does not use that language.
I recall I read something that said unfounded, but I'll check.
I would appreciate seeing a copy of it. Okay. I know our residents would too. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, so when you brought this up to council on the 11th, I had not seen this document, and I emailed Vicki a request asking you to send it to me on the 12th, and I've never seen it. Councilman Hallam included in a social media blog that I had received this document from the auditor's office and that he didn't know if I had distributed it to other council members because he himself had not gotten one. I had never gotten this document from the auditor's office. I called the auditor's office. They showed me what they sent to me. It was an incorrect email address, so I'd never received it. So, Mr. Hallam, I would appreciate if you correct that on your social media blog. Anything else for the mayor? Thank you. The next is the law director's report, Mr. O'Leary.
Thank you, Madam President. Just a couple of things. Most of my focus has been related to the police prosecutor position, working with Todd on acclimating to Willoughby Municipal Court. Two big things are going on there. One is we're having a little difficulty with the scheduling, and I've reached out to the clerk of courts as well as to the judge related to some short turnaround scheduling that has caused us to have to bring officers in off shift, costing us more money than I think it needs to if they would do it in a normal course. This last Monday, we got called in for a motion hearing, which is not a normal day that we would be there. I happened to be on the bench in juvenile court as a magistrate, so I couldn't attend. Todd was able to attend, and then they didn't hold the hearing. So I had a brief conversation with the court on Wednesday, yesterday, when I was there, and I have had a chance to talk to a couple of other prosecutors in other communities, and there's a building frustration over the lack of consideration to the departments in scheduling cases. On Monday, the motion hearing that Todd went to, they decided to, as a result of the hearing that didn't get held, to hold a bench or to schedule a bench trial yesterday on Wednesday, less than 48 hours from the hearing. So we had to call an officer in. We had to prepare for a bench trial that we had just gotten the file on. Now, we got that all worked out. But there's concerns about that because I'm afraid that it's going to cost us money and resources as far as staffing is concerned. The other thing is we had a couple of pretty serious cases this last week. We did have the attempted murder case bound over to Painesville, but they weren't the only ones. We had, I think, five preliminary hearings on Wednesday, and so Todd and I ran around taking care. It may not sound like much with six cases, but they were six very complicated cases that we had to deal with. So we got that taken care of, and Todd is doing a nice job. But he's not used to the pace of Muni Court, and so it's a little bit different. He will be on vacation next week, and so I will be covering for him on Wednesday as well as Mayor's Court on Tuesday. The only other thing that I had was I received from our engineer a easement related to the new cell phone tower. They're requesting that we sign an easement related to the utility to bring power for the new cell tower. And I went back and checked the ordinance that was contemplated in the original agreement in the original ordinance. So I'm just going to review it to make sure I'm comfortable with what we're committing to. And then we'll probably have the mayor sign that. But I wanted the council to be aware of it. And if you have any questions, I'll try to answer those.
Madam President, just to clarify, this is the cell tower on the West Miller property?
Yes.
And do we know when that cell tower is going to be fully operational? I've actually had a few residents nearby say that their phones don't work too well and they're looking forward to it.
They haven't determined, they haven't put anything on the tower, but it is up, and usually it takes about a month or two. But the main concern is getting electrical power there, and so without that, they can't do anything.
Well, we appreciate everybody pitching in to get it done.
Okay.
Madam President, I just wanted to mention, Mr. Plotchnick, you had asked about where the unfounded. There was an email that came out, an email that came out from James Mendelera, who is the auditor of state investigator, saying, please be advised that on 6/20/19, the investigation of by the SIU Special Investigative Unit was closed and the complaint was unfounded. That's where it came from.
Well,
just so you know. Just so you know,
no one had received it previously, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
Any other questions for the law director this evening? The next is the finance director's report. Mr. Berkachek.
Some good news to report. The income tax collections continue to run, continue to be strong, as I reported last month. We continue to be running about 11% ahead of last year, so that's a very, it's a very good sign. That's after seven months remittances. Also, after discussion with Councilman Fiebig, I contacted the Ohio Department of Transportation regarding the new gasoline, the revenue generated by the new gasoline tax. And on an annual basis, the ODOT is estimating that it would result in the city receiving about $230,000 a year in addition to what it already receives. That tax went into effect on July 1st. So we'll see some of that revenue this year, about basically five months worth, because there's a one-month lag. So that is good news for our street program. Also, the financial reports through the month of June are posted to the website. The Ohio Open Checkbook is current through May. The Treasurer's Office has the June information, but unfortunately, the employee who is responsible for posting the information to the website had the audacity to have a baby. So she's due back in late August, so there probably will be some delay in getting the treasurer's website updated. And finally, the state auditors have completed their field work. They're no longer on site. Their work has been submitted for review by their office, and based upon past experience, would anticipate that they probably will be issuing a report in mid to late August.
Thank you, Mr. Berkachek. Are there any questions for the finance director this evening? Seeing none, the next is the city engineer's report. Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. We held the pre-construction meeting yesterday with United Survey for the sewer project. They have a backload of work, so they won't get started right away, but our goal is to finish it by the end of the year. We were notified by NOAACA last week that they intend to slate a grant for the city of approximately $2.3 million to resurface Chardon Road between Worrell and River. The city would be responsible for 20% of construction plus engineering, so it would be about $1 million, still a considerable amount. That would be hopefully in 2022, so we would need to plan for that or start planning for that now, I would think. But that's still preliminary. It's not official yet. I support legislation ordinance 2019-59. To award the Dodd resurfacing project to Carvo in the amount of just over $567,000, which was about $100,000 under our estimate, so that's good news. And I also support ordinance 2019-61, which is to opt into the ODOT bridge inspection program. The reason this was added to the agenda is because ODOT just sent us the information on Tuesday, so it was very short notice, but I would hope both of those get passed with suspension and emergency. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Pete, are there any questions for the city engineer this evening?
Madam President, Mr. DeFranco, so what do you think that the date will be for the completion of the Dodd Road bank stabilization? Do you think we're still looking around August 15th, or do you think maybe a little earlier?
Probably a little earlier, but you never know. The mayor mentioned they painted or started painting the wall today, but we found some defects, so they're going to have to sandblast what they painted, fill in some holes, and repaint it.
Okay.
So it'll take a little longer, but there's not much left to do. They just need to paint it, attach some guardrail, and basically clean up. So
okay.
It's clear near the end.
And then the other thing was for the Chardon Road project, we went back and forth via email about that, and I believe it was 2021?
No, 2022 would be the project.
What was the range of dates? It was 2021 through 2024?
Correct.
Okay, that's right. So it was in the shorter part of the range, so
right.
2022 then for the Chardon Road project. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else for the engineer? Thank you. The next is Council's committee reports. Are there any chairs of the committees that want to share any information this evening?
Madam President, we have a proposal before us with respect to our copying contract, and I had asked for some alternative scenarios to see, depending on how many copiers or what services we ask for, what, you know, the high, low prices could be. I think given how many years it goes out, it's important to have some options so that we're not just picking what the company's offered us. We can actually see, well, this is what we pay for X number of copiers versus Y. I know that at Cleveland State, we really reduced our copying budget by just sharing copiers, and I'm not sure how realistic that is because I haven't seen different scenarios. We've only seen one proposal, so I've asked the administration to give us some scenarios so we can see this is A, B, C, D, from the leanest to the most generous, and see if we might be able to save a little money there. And whenever we get something back, I'll have a finance committee meeting to discuss it.
Any other chairs? Mayor?
The copier machine agreement, it was rolled over last year because we didn't have the help here, and we rolled it over for a year. Well, now, if it doesn't pass tonight, it rolls over for another year, and it's going to cost you more money than what we would pay for the contract if we take it now, and it would be less than what we would pay for the year installment. It's getting two copy machines, and we really don't have a lot of copiers in here. There's one at the community center, one in the building office, two up here, and then the others, it's a contract that has printers on there too, so the printers that people have, like the in the clerk of courts, they have a printer. It provides them with toner, so we don't have to buy toner every month. It's still included if we roll over, but the price is about $100 cheaper on the five-year contract. So, and then we also have ACE. A company called ACE Products, which police use, and they have a new copier at the substation, one downstairs and one upstairs for the administration.
So there's a separate company that does the copiers for the police?
Yes, it's ACE is they came in with a competitive price for the extra machines for the police.
So I'm just trying to understand why we wouldn't have looked to see what one company, whether it's ACE or the other, would be able to do for the entire city.
Because there are two different time periods that they cover, the contract covers. The police one, they just got the one down at the substation, and a year ago they got one in the office here. So they have a separate term of the contract. But Sharon was trying to get that together for you today. She just didn't have time to get that all that together.
I also know that Councilwoman Pigemeau had some questions. Did you ever get answers to those?
No, and if you don't mind, Madam President, so I had several questions. And it is a little frustrating if this needed to be done tonight that I didn't get an answer to the questions. I really wanted to understand when we had a contract that was $350 a month and then a new contract that's $485 a month, it didn't make sense that we would be saving when the memo said that we'd be saving $72 a month. That didn't make sense with the information we had. Now that you've explained what you just explained, I see what you're saying. The contract went up substantially. This is a $30,000 copier contract. I see 11 machines on this contract. I asked where the machines are, what the purpose. You know, I want to know what it is that we're doing. We're trustees for our taxpayers' money, and we need to make sure that we're spending it properly. So $30,000 for copiers, that's a lot, and we're bound to that for a long time. So I just wanted to make sure that we had enough information so we can make a good decision. You know, and so it is frustrating. parking. You know, I asked that a few days ago, and I know that this, if this really needs to happen, it's hard for us, for me personally. I can't speak for everyone, I guess, but I have a hard time signing on to something like that when I don't have the information I need to really understand if that's the right thing to do or not.
The $350 price was the first contract, but there were amendments to it that added the printers to it, so it was $72 more than $480.
Well, I asked for any other contracts we had, and so we don't have all that information. So how are we supposed to know if this is a good idea or not? So again, it might be, but without the information, I can't sign on to it, not knowing if it's the, you know, all I need is the information. If I have the information, I can understand what's going on, then we can make these decisions, you know? So, you know, that's all. I still want the information, and I think that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
I inquire why we get this at the 12th hour. Why didn't we get this a month ago or two months ago?
Yeah, Madam President.
You knowing that the contract is coming to an end, and if we don't act on it, it's an automatic rollover, it makes it very difficult for us to help in the process if we're not given an opportunity to ask the questions, have the questions answered, and have a discussion on it, which this should be. I mean, we're actually having a committee meeting on it tonight, so I echo Councilwoman Pismo's. I cannot sign on to something that I don't have the answers for.
And Madam President, we had this for a year. We knew that this was going to happen. It is really frustrating to get this at the end of last week. So,
Alrighty.
And then, you know, not have our questions answered about it. So, you know, it's just hard to do our job when we don't have all of the information that we ask for. That's all.
Councilman Phoebe and Councilman Micah.
Madam President, if I could weigh in, too, I spoke with the agent because I had those questions as well. So we had a conversation for, you know, 15 minutes or so. So I got a better handle on what we're asking for. But I said, well, can you get back to us, get back to me or all of us, and let us know what the difference was if we were to just extend this into next year versus the five-year contract? And I didn't hear back. Now, I did hear you just say it would be $100 more per month. $100 more than what?
No, that's what
that's
the 72
else?
Was what we save.
So when you said if we don't pass this tonight, so is the, and I'm glancing through it, is there some deadline in here?
Tomorrow would be like the deadline.
All right. Tomorrow is the deadline for the one-year extension that we have.
No, it's automatic for 1 year, but the five-year contract, it expires tomorrow.
Didn't you just say that we had a five-year contract, it rolled over last year for
one more year? And
it
will roll over one more year.
It would roll over one more year.
If we don't do anything
tomorrow,
tonight.
At what price?
The current price.
Which is what? Is it
485?
485, I think.
But that's what the 63-month lease program is stating here, is saying it's 485.
Right.
So if it would roll over for 1 year at 485, why would we sign a 63-month lease at 485?
No.
I think it's 555 is
555,
based on your
like
557.
Right.
Is this the number?
I think, Madam President, I'm sorry.
The second to last page.
Yeah, Councilman Fubig, I do think it. I think that's the number that the mayor is referring to, but it's not clear. And again, this is a $30,000 five-year contract that we're bound to for a long time. I have a hard time signing on to that without the information until, and even now.
Don't pass it, roll it over for a year, and let the next mayor make the deal.
And the other thought that I wanted to finish with was that how much bidding did we do on this? Did you go to a couple other vendors in the last year and look at other options?
We looked at Ace for the entire thing, and this was the best deal.
So, all right, just those two.
Yeah.
All right.
Madam President.
Councilwoman Micah.
Oh, sorry.
So, yeah, a couple of my questions were answered. But so say we did roll this over for 1 year, and what would be the monthly, what would we be paying extra each month by doing the rollover instead of renewing the contract?
$550, roughly.
It would be an extra $550 each month?
No, $550 total.
As compared to $480?
Yes.
Roughly $480?
Right.
So, yeah, we're looking at...
And you are dealing with old 60, machines.
70.
The new machines all have wireless printing and faxing, so we can do away with a lot of the other items that we purchase.
And we would or would not get those new machines with a 1 year rollover?
No, you wouldn't
we
get
would
those.
We would not?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have the same old machines.
Madam President.
Mr. Helm.
Mr. O'Leary, is there have you looked at the contract that we currently have? Is there anything that allows us to replace it at any point during a rollover period like this? Do you know?
I'd have to go back and look at it more closely. Obviously, when you negotiate a long-term contract, most vendors are willing to negotiate during the midst of a year in order to extend the contract. Now, obviously, if you decided to go with a new vendor, why would they allow you to do that? So I'd want to look at it, but my guess is if it automatically rolls over, you're not going to be able to walk away with this unless there's some kind of malfeasance or issue with their performance related to maintenance and defaulting on the agreement itself.
So are you saying that if we intend to stay with the current company but negotiate, just go through, answer a few more questions that have been asked directly to them, right, Councilwoman Pijama?
I asked for the old. What I can't remember. Oh, wait, no, I think I asked for monthly usage reports from the vendor,
right.
And he didn't have those. He gave me more monthly average usage reports, so which was not nearly as helpful, but a little bit of information that was semi-useful, I would say. So that is what I got from him. But the other questions I thought would be better answered by the administration and more appropriately answered by the administration. I'm not sure that the vendor would know about the specific practices of our city and what other contracts we have and things like that. So that's all. And while I'm talking, if you don't mind, did we get a quote from Ace, Mayor? Do you know? Did we get a quote from Ace for
we
this?
We got different quotes, yes.
We did? Oh,
yeah.
Can we get those?
Yeah.
That would be really helpful. Thank you.
So, I guess, getting back to my question then, Mr. O'Leary, is it your position that potentially if we end up staying with the current, but we get a few more answers and decide to move forward with the new contract, is it your opinion that they would allow us to switch to the new contract even after the rollover?
Well, I think it's very possible that they would allow us to start the 5 years at a different point other than tomorrow if they have the opportunity to retain the contract long-term. I think they're always just looking to tie you up long-term.
Sure.
It might be worthwhile to extend an offer that, based upon the questions tonight, to extend the current agreement for 3 months and ask them if they would give us 3 months to go back and get these resolved before it automatically rolls over. That's one way you can resolve it is to delay the rollover opportunity. Maybe that's one of the ways we can resolve that.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Fiebig, I'm glad you had an opportunity to speak to him because I left a message for Mr. Russell and he never called me back with questions.
Madam President, and Mayor or Mr. O'Leary, do you think it'd be possible that either one of you two could, as I'm getting a sense of Council's hesitancy to pass this tonight, can you send a message to them and ask if they would give a 3 or 4 month extension of this, and then we can...
Well, I would agree with you. I think that's altogether possible, and I think you know, your office has been handling the negotiation. Maybe they could do that. I'm certainly willing to step in if you'd like me to. To me, that makes the most sense. The worst that can happen is they say, no, we're going to renew it for a year, and then we take that into consideration as we look forward for a new vendor.
That's a good point, and a point that you could bring up. And say, look,
to me,
we were given this, you know, today. We typically have three readings. We haven't had a chance to go in committee, and we'd like to research this a little bit more and make sure we know what we're voting on.
Well, and my concern, in addition to what everything has been brought on the table, is if you sign up for 5 years, it's already been stated we're not getting any new equipment, that everything we have is old.
No, we are getting two new copiers.
Yeah, but I mean, everything else is old. Anything else that we have to change is going to be an additional cost. I'd rather see us look at some kind of a replacement plan that includes that in that five-year agreement so that we can benefit from this department gets a new one this year, this department gets a new one next year, so that we're actually updating the equipment, because I think there was some discussion about we don't have anything that's wireless. And that would be nice to have that capability, because that's how you can get economies of scale and only have one printer amongst a couple of departments. Is if it's wireless, they don't have to hard code it. So,
Madam President, another point would be, I mean, I understand that we're, you know, late getting this information. I agree with what my colleague said. But in addition, we have a network administrator on this contract, which is Sharon, and she's unavailable right now. So that's another point that could be talked about with the company.
I think Councilman Mica, she just returned, but she has been out for several weeks.
Right, and so that slowed down. We could argue that slowed down the process as well.
Well, Madam President, one last point. This might also, and maybe you talked about this, Mr. Mayor, with them, but depending on when these other two printers that the police station have are renewing, perhaps there may be some opportunity for us to add those two in at the expiration. No?
Because we just, like the one at
or
the...
Just
did.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, I think a lot of this would have been eliminated, Mr. Mayor, if we had been given more time to review the information and been able to have questions answered. So, any other chairs for any other topics on their committees this evening? Any other council representative reports? All right. I will move on to public portion. This is an opportunity for the public to come forward. When you do, please state your name and address for the record and try to keep your comments to 3 minutes. I will open public portion at 7:48 p.m.
Doris Dodge, 37881 Milan Drive. Councilman Hallam, you posted all over social media that all of the allegations against you in Council's Whisper report were unfounded. But I read the auditor's preliminary report, and the word unfounded did not appear in that report, nor did I see your name mentioned at all. I felt this was misleading to me and an attempt to mislead the public. I did not appreciate that. That's why I'm bringing this up. The report did not deny that you personally profited off of the vulnerable Whisper recipients or the former city prosecutor's law firm helped you earn commissions from selling the home of a Willoughby Hills murder victim. I question this whole thing. Why would the auditor investigate this type of thing anyway? It just doesn't seem to me that this would be in the appropriate venue. Shouldn't that be investigated by the Ohio Ethics Commission? It would be horrific if it would be legal for a city councilman or any other elected official to personally profit, particularly from the most vulnerable residents. Councilman Hallam, is it legal to personally profit from your position as an elected public servant? I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know if it's legal for an elected official to profit off of their city as a real estate agent. But I do know right from wrong, and I feel that this is wrong. So don't sit there and tell me what's best for my city. I am a resident. I know what's best for my city. Ethics, good ethics, and that's what's best for my city. I feel that there are other real estate agents around that could handle these matters that would be involved with contentious properties in Willoughby Hills that are involved with the city. Any other property is fair game. Listing a house, that's up to you. That's your business. But something involved in the city where you would get a commission, that, to me, is bothersome.
Thank you.
Jenna Bing, 36951 Beach Hills Drive. I want to thank council for asking all the right questions and not trying to do things that come at the last minute just to kind of rubber stamp them, but really to ask all the right questions. And I like when I see council doing what I think is their job. I mean, they had personnel relations meeting. They discussed fire raises and uniforms, and they discussed the assistant finance director's thing, and when they wrote the ordinance, it laid out very clearly why. So when someone just reads the ordinance, they have the rationale behind it. It was very clear that our process of working in committee really does put forward a really good product that people can understand and then say, this is what we should be doing or not doing. So I applaud council when you all step forward and do what I consider your job and do it well. So I appreciate that. I heard a couple of things tonight that concern me. Mayor, you said that there was an ordinance reflecting how we're doing Grange Key access now. I thought there was an ordinance in place, and if you've changed how you're doing Grange Key access without an ordinance, isn't that a violation of something? So I don't quite understand. I understand that there might be a need to change how the keys and access to the Grange works, but I hope that change hasn't been made already and that you're asking for an ordinance in the back door to reflect that, because that's what you said. Maybe I heard it wrong or you said it wrong. And then I had a question, Mayor, also for you about Whisper, because you evidently have spoken to our insurance company, and they are helping you, your team, or somebody on your team, work on the employee handbook, which I actually think should be done kind of externally, or at least council should be aware of how the insurance company is now handling it. Again, this little lack of communication and the administration just going off doing it is bothersome. But did you ask the insurance company about Whisper and the liabilities to the city for the volunteers that would be going out and how to handle that and the liabilities of the people that we would be helping and all of that? Because I just think that's a really, really touchy thing. If somebody says, hey, can you get the leaves out of my gutter on my first floor, and somebody falls off the ladder and we were helping, and do they sue them? I think there's a whole can of worms that can be opened up that our insurance company really needs to understand what might be coming forward to council for some input. And I think that that would be a very valuable step, is to have them weigh in sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Anthony. Good evening.
Hi. Anthony Camino, 2972 Lynn Drive. Two things. I was meeting with our food pantry today, and on the agenda was the Willoughby Hills Run, and I didn't know if we've been approached by Classic Lexus or the clinic to do that run again. It usually happens in October, and the planning usually has happened by now, so I didn't know if that was happening. And the other thing, I did have a couple calls in the last 2 weeks from people in Willoughby Hills approaching the church for some assistance. And those typically would have been something that I had talked to, would have referred to the Whisper program for assistance. So I don't know everything that's going on, but if it is possible to have something in place again in the future, there still, I think, is a need for assistance done in a good way. And we would certainly partner with you in that if it's possible.
Thank you. Anyone else this evening? Okay, I will close public portion at 7:55 p.m. Unfinished business.
Madam President?
Councilman Hallam.
To answer Mr. Camino, the wellness run is scheduled for October 6th.
Would you explain the Grange, and you mentioned Campbell Park and Grange and Dispatch?
We requested an ordinance to change the way that
we requested an ordinance to make the keys available because we don't have a dispatcher at the window anymore, only Monday through Friday from 8 to 4. So we put lock boxes up in the lobby, and we have a camera on them. So anybody that wants to use the Grange, and there's only the Girl Scouts, they can come up and take the key and open up and then return the key. The Campbell Park, we took the lock off, and we have it open all the time so people can drive up so there's no key required. That's the two changes we need. We want to put a lock box on the Grange, so they don't have to drive down and drive back. We can put a camera up there, but we haven't done that. But the only thing we have now is the lock boxes by the police station.
But there is an ordinance that speaks to the process now, correctly?
Right.
And there's only one group using it?
Right.
Again, it is a little frustrating. If you don't get the legislation you want, you can't just go and do it. I mean, if you know, I think that it's concerning when we have this public building that we've had since 2008. Our residents have paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for this building, never had access. They didn't pay for the building, but to upkeep the building. Yes, the taxpayers have paid tens of thousands of dollars to upkeep this building over the years and maintain it, heat it, have water in it, pay the utilities, things like that. And they've never, ever been able to use it. And so while my kids are Scouts, I appreciate the Scouts, I really, you know, I like the Scouts, but these aren't all Willoughby Hills groups using the building. I have a hard time thinking that we should spend more of the taxpayers' money to accommodate non-Willoughby Hills groups to use a city building that the taxpayers have been paying for and have never been able to use. So I think that the answer isn't to just do it because it's convenient for the Girl Scouts. That's not really the answer. So again, it's frustrating. I want to work with you. You know, I want to accommodate this, but it's hard when it's just, you know, we it's just do it or I'm doing it anyway. It's frustrating.
Madam President, can I ask a question on the Grange? Do we have Wi-Fi there by any chance?
No.
We don't. Okay, thank you.
Madam President, to Ms. Bing's question about insurance, we received an email this morning from the mayor with mostly the Whisper website put into a PDF labeled Whisper Manual Update, but there never was a Whisper Manual, so I would say it's really just, it's the website, but it's converted to a PDF, along with a few emails at the end that went back and forth with the insurance company. There really wasn't any depth. There was just an email asking, is Whisper covered by insurance? And there was a reply back saying that volunteers for any city program are covered by the city's insurance to the extent they're acting for the city. So there was some response there. The problem is you're not worried about a volunteer who's doing things the right way. You're worried about a volunteer who does something the wrong way. If somebody goes into a senior's home and takes their checkbook or takes a ring or breaks the television set, they're not acting on behalf of the city. They're acting outside of their capacity. And I seriously doubt that the insurance company would cover that. So there was a little bit of outreach to the insurance company. But I don't think it was in depth enough to really answer your question, but I wanted you to know that there was an initial outreach to the insurance company to see whether the volunteers were covered at all. So apparently there is some coverage, but exactly how far it extends, I don't know. And in my experience, insurance companies do not cover when you have people acting outside the scope. Now, I feel confident when we have a city employee, like a police officer, that they will operate within the scope of their employment because they're trained and they're licensed. And frankly, a city employee has a lot to lose because they can lose their job if they don't act in the city's best interest. But to just sign up a volunteer who signs a waiver, this person could be anyone. And I think that that's a concern even beyond the insurance. We want to make sure that we're only placing people with vulnerable seniors who we're absolutely confident are going to treat them with the highest respect and care. So those are bigger issues that certainly haven't been resolved yet, but I wanted to make sure you knew that that initial outreach had happened. And I certainly agree with Mr. Camino that it's very important that we have a senior program in the city. I also agree with the mayor that that program should have a committee. There were some suggestions sent that were drafted, I believe, by the mayor's secretary in terms of how to formulate that committee. I think we really want to look to other cities and communities to see how they do it successfully. And I know that our council president, as well as Councilwoman Laura Lenz, have been working on that for some time. So it's good to see the administration following their lead. But I think we really need to continue that work, and I think we need to do it in an official way. So I would propose at this meeting that we form an ad hoc senior center committee of council. I would propose Laura Lenz to be the chair. I certainly think that our council president should be on it. I would be happy to serve as well so that we can actively look at the legislation that would be necessary to establish a senior center that's compliant with the county and the state so that we're eligible for grant funding and we can fully take advantage of all the resources that are available for seniors. Is it something we want to provide and we want to partner with local churches and institutions whenever possible? You never turn down an offer of help when you can get it, but we need to have a program that's absolutely solid. And I do want to repeat that my concerns, and I was not a complainant to the state auditor, but my concerns with Whisper came from residents who called me and even came to the council meeting and said, point blank, you know, I received Whisper services for years, but I was told by the administrator I didn't support the right person for council, and so I need to go ask the people that I supported for help instead. And we've had these people come at the dais, one of whom was a former employee, and speak on the record, so I don't think there's any dispute that this happened. So I agree that a committee and more accountability is absolutely important. I think we need to have a formal council process so that we can get there. No one's looking to point at the past or blame each other. We just need to make sure that the new senior center program is absolutely beyond reproach and that all of our seniors feel safe in accepting its help and services without putting the city at risk, to Mrs. Bing's point.
John, I just have to comment on the resident, the employee that came up here. What happened was we're going to rake leaves. She didn't want some group because they fooled around. So we had to reschedule it with the Key Club. And then it rained. And then it was winter, and we couldn't do it. Now, previously, I was there with my blower, and I personally did it, but no one else did. So just to tell you, we try to make every accommodation for people, but we couldn't. The weather, the denial of service from a particular group, and the weather, then it turned to winter.
And Mayor, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the fact that you go out in the community yourself. And ultimately, I went up and personally got the brush for her because, like you, I'm not going to stand by and leave a senior unserved. So I commend you for that, and I think it's what we're called to do. But I will say she specifically spoke to the conversation she had with the administrator, and I'm not here to play. She said, I can only tell you she was my former clerk. I know this woman well. She is honest as the day is long, and I personally believe her. Misunderstandings do happen, though, which is why having a set process and procedure in place to make sure that no one person ever has that authority, so no one can even accuse you of making that decision, I think that that really is the solution. So I agree with you on that.
That's why we're trying to put a committee together. The people that go out to that are in the community, the service director, the police chief, the fire chief, they see or their people see everything that's going on, and it makes things fair. But read the report and give me your feedback on it.
Madam President? Mayor, I would just say that the report is a great start to a legal framework for the program. I think that one of the problems is that there was no legislation beyond establishment of a fund. So there needs to be a legal framework for a program and establish the committee and who the members should be and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to assisting anyone else that wants to work on that and working with the administration to come up with a new program for our community. I think that will be a really good exercise for all of us.
Madam President, given that sentiment, I would make a motion to form an ad hoc committee of council, the Ad Hoc Senior Center Committee, naming Councilwoman Laura Lenz as chair. She would have the authority to choose her members. I think that pretty much any of us would be happy to serve with her, but that would be her prerogative as any committee chair has. Would anyone second my motion?
Second.
That wasn't very nice. I heard the comment, and it wasn't very nice. We have a motion on the table, Vice President Pleshnik, and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to create an ad hoc senior center
committee
of council with Councilwoman Lenz being the chair. And she will reach out to members of the committee, including council, administration, and residents.
Is there a discussion on this? Can I clarify, because we were talking about, we're in unfinished business, and we were talking about the Whisper program, and we were just today, this morning or so, given an email that outlined some ideas for the Whisper program. What I'm hearing you say, Councilman Pleshnik, is you want to start an ad hoc committee for the senior center?
Well,
can you clarify, is this the Whisper program?
Well, Mr. Fiebig,
the senior center?
I think it's very clear that we're never going to call a program Whisper in the city again, but the purpose of Whisper, the purpose of any city senior center is to serve our seniors in those ways. So I think that it's fair to say that this committee would have jurisdiction over that issue, but whether you call it Whisper Senior Center, I think that's really irrelevant. The goal is to serve our seniors, and we certainly want to really demark from the past there. But I think most cities refer to their senior programs as senior center, senior program, and that's certainly something that can be discussed in the committee. Just because the committee is called the Senior Center Committee doesn't mean that's the ultimate name that we have to adopt. But I think that it's a more general name. It reflects the jurisdiction of the committee because we do have a senior center and a senior room. Our program in the city always was bigger than just Whisper, and I think that we have to have that bigger view because we want to be eligible for grants. We want to have an operational senior center that's recognized by the county so that we're eligible for that money. So I don't think we're really looking at just Whisper, although I think replacing that program's services is part of what we're looking at.
Okay. I don't know if we should have a long discussion about this, but since there'll be obviously a vote on this, I want to understand what I'm voting for. You said that there will never be a program called Whisper, but I'd have to disagree with you on that because we've legally established a fund and a program called Whisper. So we'd have to rescind that for that to be accurate. So I don't know if you're proposing that or not, but the second is the senior center certainly has its own issues, and it seems like an administrative thing rather than a legislative thing. Understanding where the administration wants to go with that, I think, is part of our purview rather than telling them what we, as council, would like them to do. So I'm still a little unclear as to what the goal would be, whether we're working with the administration or you're trying to take that program and the administrative functions of the senior center and the Whisper program out of their hands, or is this to form something other than, say, I don't know, personnel relations or safety or service or some other committee, or you're talking about isolating, usually with an ad hoc, you're looking at isolating one specific thing. So you're talking about a broad range rather than one specific thing that you would put an ad hoc committee together for. So that's where I'm a little unclear on this.
Madam President, I would recommend that.
If I could just get a response maybe before we go there, just so I can understand what we're voting on, that's all.
Councilman Plechnik proposed.
Councilman Fabian, so Vice President Plechnik has already stated some of those things. So let's let Councilwoman Pismo share her thoughts as well.
Thank you. I was just going to suggest that perhaps we change the amend the motion to make it the Senior Services Committee, perhaps. I think that would be a little bit of a better descriptor to me. I'd also like to just say that the law about funds, it doesn't have to be called Whisper to use the Whisper Fund. It just has to be for a similar purpose for the specialized fund. So it doesn't have to be only for a program named Whisper. It's for a program that does X, Y, and Z. So that's what the fund is for. So that's how that works. Yeah, so I think that these are all things that can be worked out. I personally, the name is insignificant. I think that that's something that can be worked out through this process. I think that it's a good idea that we get started on it, and I think there's a need for it. I think there's the will among all of us to chip in and help out with this, and I'm looking forward to seeing the fruits of the labor.
Madam President,
Councilman Fiebig, so for some of your questions, both Councilwoman Lenz and I are healthcare providers, and this is a topic that's very near and dear to us, especially with Councilman Lenz's work currently and the population that she serves. So I think this is an opportunity in this committee for her and I and others to work with the administration to expand what we have currently today to things like Vice President Plechnik indicated, so that we can work with the county and be able to have the pieces and parts in place to be able to apply for grants that may provide for extended opportunities in the community center. I mean, these are just baby steps, and a lot of these are just thoughts and brainstorming that would have an opportunity for people to get together with council, administration, and residents to have a vision of where we could make the current program even better. Councilman Hill.
Thank you. Mr. O'Leary, my concern, I'd like your opinion on this, is because the Whisper program, the senior program, however you want to call it, is, number one, it's a donation-based project program, so there are no city funds being expended. And it is, in my opinion, I'd be interested in yours as well, this is an administrative function. I'm concerned that we as legislators would be potentially overstepping our bounds by doing this committee as a legislative committee, as opposed to having the administration do a committee and invite us to be involved in it, especially since there are no city funds being expended in this program for us to be legislating on the funds or how they're spent, but more so that we approve of whatever the final product is for the city.
Okay. Well, as I understand it, there was, because I was included in it, an email that came from the mayor, mayor's office, with details about the proposed changes to Whisper and asking for input. What's been proposed is to establish a committee that can really look into that, because you obviously don't have the time, you haven't had a chance to review it, and you can't really take the rest of the council meeting this evening to talk about that. So the idea of sending it to a committee for input to report back with recommendations working with administration makes sense. As it pertains to how that affects the funding, that's something that they're going to have to take into consideration, because any significant changes could affect the funding. But I think that's what the committee can spend the time working on, if that makes sense to you.
Thank you.
Madam President, just one last thing. The donations that have come in for the Whisper program are city funds. That money came in for the city to use for that purpose. So those are city funds. No matter where they came from, they are city funds. So they need to be used for that purpose.
Madam President.
Okay, so we've had a great discussion. We've had a lot of input and thoughts. I really, to the law director's point, this is a council meeting. The primary purpose of the council meeting is to deal with legislation, and we haven't gotten there yet this evening. So I would like to stop this discussion. We can have a committee meeting. I can call a council committee meeting of the whole, since we're not sure where to put it, and then we can continue with this. So I want to move on to legislation, please.
Madam President.
I'd like to move on to legislation, please. I would like to move on to legislation, please.
A point of order, Madam President.
Legislation.
Madam President, you can ask for a point of order.
I am saying that we are moving on to legislation, please.
Madam President, what are we going to do about the motion that's currently on the floor with the second? That's probably the only thing we need to do something with, I think.
No, you just answered his question, but you wouldn't recognize my question here as a point of order.
I think at this time I might ask the people that made the motions to rescind it at this time.
Madam President, in respect of your wishes, I will withdraw my motion at this time, although I am still in support of forming an ad hoc committee. I do just think the two things need to be noted. Number one, it's very important that we respect the authority of the chair, whether it's the committee or the council president. And I have noticed that Councilman Fiebig has on more than one occasion spoken without being acknowledged by the chair. I don't say this in criticism, but it makes it harder to facilitate the meeting. Sometimes you're the chair, sometimes the council president is the chair. We need to be respectful of one another. And second, it's very important for the record to state, and I'm not sure if our law director is aware of this, while Councilwoman Pijamo is correct that any money that the city accepts, whether it's from property taxes, donations, are city funds, there were actually transfers from the service department into the Whisper Fund. So there were city tax dollars that went into the Whisper Fund with some regularity. I have reviewed those records, and I can state that with confidence. So I personally think the source of the funds is irrelevant. It is, as Councilwoman Pijamo says, all city dollars. But for the record, taxpayers did pay directly into the Whisper program.
Councilman Phoebe,
Madam President, you may have the floor. I was, first of all, going to state that we had a motion and a second on the floor, but I did want to say that the proper procedure could be considered to go to a working committee of council to refer any specific issue. We already have a committee set up for specific issues like this, and that would be more appropriate, in my opinion. And thank you for letting me speak.
Do I need to have the second removed?
Sure, it's removed.
Moving on to legislation. Ordinance number 2019-54. Vicki, please read the caption.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into an agreement between the city of Willoughby Hills, Ohio, and Clemens, Nelson, and Associates, Inc. to assist in the development of an employee handbook and declaring an emergency.
This will stay on second reading. The next is ordinance number 2019-57.
An ordinance fixing the salary and compensation for the position of full-time assistant finance director, repealing conflicting legislation, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Pismo.
Motion to waive the three-reading rule on ordinance number 2019-57.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Pismo and a second from Councilman Fiebig to waive the three-reading rule on ordinance 2019-57. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, this ordinance reflects the recommendations of the Finance and the Personnel Relations Committee. It has been discussed in many more than three meetings, although this ordinance itself has not received three readings formally. So while it may not be absolutely urgent, I think it's important to note that we're not really waiving the three-reading rule to rush it. This ordinance has been fully discussed and vetted.
Vicki?
Lenz?
No.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Leshnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
The three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-57 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig?
Motion to adopt Ordinance 2019-57.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt Ordinance Number 2019-57. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz?
No.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Leshnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
Ordinance 2019-57 has been adopted. The next is Ordinance 2019-58.
An ordinance amending ordinance number 2019-36 to provide criteria for annual uniform allowance and to eliminate the provision of an acting shift officer and repealing conflicting legislation.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Move to waive three readings of Ordinance 2019-58.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Lenz to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-58. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President?
Yes.
I believe we also had this talked about in personnel relations, and I think there's a good common-sense move to change the application of a clothing allowance based on hours worked rather than some other criteria. It does seem to make sense, and it was discussed extensively in personnel relations and other places. So we'd move that we waive three readings.
Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Leshnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
The three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-58 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Move to adopt Ordinance 2019-58.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Councilwoman Lenz to adopt Ordinance 2019-58. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Leshnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
Ordinance number 2019-58 has been adopted. The next is Ordinance 2019-59.
An ordinance accepting the bid of Carvo Companies, Inc. of 4524 Hudson Drive, Stowe, Ohio, for the Dodd Road resurfacing project and declaring emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Pismo.
Motion to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance number
2019-59.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Pismo and a second from Councilman Fiebig to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-59. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Leshnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
The three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-59 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Pismo.
Motion to adopt Ordinance number 2019-59.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilman Fiebig to adopt Ordinance 2019-59. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, this is a very exciting project for me, I have to say, and I'm sure all of my neighbors were looking very forward to it. I'm very jealous of everyone living on Trailered Mayfriars and Glengate because I know their neighborhood is looking really, really nice right now, and I'm looking forward to having the same for us on Dodd Road.
Councilman Phoebe?
Madam President, this was good news that it was $100,000 under our budgeted amount, so that's fantastic. It's, that's just great news to have this done under with $100,000 left to spare. So I'm very happy about that.
Madam President, it's actually not $100,000 that we're saving, unfortunately, because some of the half the project is being covered by the county. So it's a little bit more than half, I believe, that we're saving.
Under projected bid, yeah.
Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Leshnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
Ordinance 2019-59 has been adopted. The next is Ordinance 2019-60.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a document management agreement with ComDoc for the leasing of two new Xerox copying devices and the management of printing services.
This will stay on first reading and is going into the Finance Committee.
The next is ordinance 2019-61.
An ordinance declaring the intention of the city to participate in the bridge inspection program services being implemented by the Ohio Department of Transportation, ODOT, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to waive the three reading rule on ordinance number 2019-61.
Point of order, Madam President.
Oh, motion to waive two-day notification.
Thank you.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to waive the two-day notification. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Madam President, this is just simply because we received this, was it Wednesday?
Tuesday.
And you need to give 2 days notification, two full days notification. But given that this and the next one are, their purpose is immediate, and getting this into tonight's legislation was important. That's why you would waive 2 days notification for something like this.
Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Bebig?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
2 day notification's been waived.
Madam President?
Councilman Pismo?
Motion to waive the three reading rule on ordinance number 2019-61.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilman Fiebig to waive the three reading rule on ordinance 2019-61. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
The three reading rule on ordinance number 2019-61 has been waived.
Madam President?
Councilwoman Pismo?
Motion to adopt ordinance number 2019-61.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilman Fiebig to adopt ordinance 2019-61. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, this is very important to us also. Living on Dodd Road, Dodd's Hill, Dodd's Landing, Milan, all the roads down there, because we drive that bridge often, and we want it to be safe. I think that's pretty fair to say.
Madam President, if I could add, safety really is the reason why the city chose to keep the Pleasant Valley Road Bridge open, not just as a footbridge, but as a traffic bridge, because the other exit of Pleasant Valley onto Chardon Road that's more eastward is really very steep, and in the winters it can be almost impossible for some cars to pass out during bad weather from that more easterly exit of Pleasant Valley Road to Chardon. So it really is safer for the residents on Pleasant Valley and everyone who uses that cut through.
So I would like to mention, while Councilman Fiebig said this is of the most urgent nature, actually the Ohio Department of Transportation program doesn't end till December 31st of this year. However, our engineer is always Pete on the spot and gives us things months before, so we have an opportunity to review it, versus some other types of projects that we often have to deal with. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hallam?
Yes.
Ordinance number 2019-61 has been adopted. The next is ordinance 2019-62.
An ordinance to declare city vehicles and or equipment as surplus property and granting authorization to sell said surplus vehicles and equipment on the open market upon such terms and at such prices as are deemed most advantageous to the city of Willoughby Hills and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to waive the two-day notification on ordinance number 2019-62.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and second from Councilman Fiebig to waive the two-day notification on ordinance 2019-62. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, this too was received on Tuesday, so it wasn't
Wednesday.
Possible. Or Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Both of them were Wednesday.
This was received by the clerk's office on Wednesday. I stand corrected. I actually did stop in on Wednesday to help the clerk to draft this ordinance. So this is why it's necessary for us to waive two-day notification, the three-reading rule. But the mayor's office is certainly correct that the sooner we approve this, the sooner we can put it out to bid, and more likely than not, the higher price we'll receive, because the longer cars and vehicles sit, the harder it is to sell them, the more maintenance issues there are. So this is urgent.
Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah? Yes. Pismo.
Yes.
Lesnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fibig.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
The two-day notification on Ordinance 2019-62 has been waived.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnick.
Motion to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance Number 2019-62.
Second.
Ooh. This side of the table. I have a motion from Vice President Plushnick and a second from Councilman Hallam to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-62. Is there any discussion on the motion? Nikki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fibig.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
The three-reading rule on Ordinance Number 2019-62 has been waived.
Madam President.
Mm-hmm. Councilwoman Pismo.
Yes. Motion to adopt Ordinance Number 2019-62.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilman Hallam to adopt Ordinance Number 2019-62. Is there any discussion on the motion?
This is your chance, govdeals.com, to own your very own 2014 Dodge Charger with only 94,346 miles. Estimated value, $5,500, but I think it might be worth a little more than that. And a 2010 Chevrolet Police Impala. And the city's looking to sell these vehicles. I can tell you, as someone who drives a used police car myself, they're great, solid vehicles. So we hope that a lot of people will bid, and we'll put the money back into your city.
Okay.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fibig.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Ordinance Number 2019-62 has been adopted. The next is Resolution Number 2019-9. Vicki, you read the caption.
Oh, a resolution administratively documenting the contract rate amendment for the contract between Browning Ferris Industries, Ohio, Inc., BFI, and the City of Willoughby Hills for the citywide trash and recycling program, and repealing conflicting legislation and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnick.
I'd like to make a few notes about this resolution. This replaces the ordinance that council tabled, which our law director ruled wasn't necessary because the amendments to the contract were permitted administratively, had already been made. We even discussed how the bills with the increased $3.15 per quarter had been mailed out and many residents had paid them before it had even come on council's desk. So the ordinance was tabled on the law director's advice. And this resolution came up in response with the thought that it would help inform residents about the new rates. Now, given that residents received a bill in the mail with the new rates, I think that it's fairly widely known. I know there was a senior program that also discussed it. And I'm not sure that a resolution is the best way to spread information to residents. I do read every resolution that we post to our website, but I would be very suspect that the average resident gets their news by scrolling through our resolutions. So I'm not sure it's effective. But beyond that, if you actually read the sections, which are the effective portions of the resolution, Section 1, which is really the meat of it, says that all ordinances or parts thereof in conflict with the provisions of this resolution be and are hereby repealed as of the effective date of this ordinance. Now, number one, this is a resolution, not an ordinance. Number two, resolutions as a parliamentary matter are only a statement of opinion by the legislative body that votes on them. You cannot repeal, amend, change any of the laws of Willoughby Hills through a resolution. We can make a statement through it, but we can't change the law. And so I think this resolution doesn't really serve a purpose. It also purports to do something that it cannot do, which is to amend conflicting legislation or laws. So I think it would be appropriate to table this resolution, but I wondered if our law director wanted to address the issue as well, because it is a legal issue.
Thank you, Councilman Plesnick. The issue of the language in here is well taken. A resolution cannot override the ordinance. It's as you say, it's an advisory notification, what have you. There may be other ways to get this information out more effectively. So I would agree with you that this is, as I said before, when this came up as an ordinance, that the contract was clear that any changes would be done as a matter of course related to benchmarks in that. I think if there had been concerns about whether or not those benchmarks had been met, that we could have had a different discussion. But as it pertains to the rate increase by the company, I don't think that takes an action of council, either by ordinance or by resolution.
Madam President, with that, I'm going to motion to table resolution number 2019-9.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Micah to table resolution number 2019-9. There is no discussion on the table. Vicki, please call the roll.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Lesnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Biebig?
Yes.
Hullum?
Yes.
Ordinance 2019-9 has been tabled. The next is new business. Is there any new business to come before council? The next is for the good of the order or the good of the community. Councilman Hallen.
First of all, I wanted to thank all the residents who came to Willoughby Hills Day at Captain's at the Captain's Stadium. It was, I thought, pretty well attended. I know a lot of kids were having fun, and it was actually a really nice, comfortable day to be out there.
It was hot.
In the shade, it was comfortable.
And then there was that lightning storm.
Yeah,
so well, that was real comfortable.
Yeah. Well, that happened.
Everybody after. Leave your seats.
And then I did want to mention that every child who was involved in Willoughby Hills Baseball League that came to the game was able to be out on the field with the athletes, including some that had their coaches had not told the commission that these folks were going to be coming to the game. We were able to get them in as well, so everybody was out on the field, and I think everybody had a good time. Secondly, I just want to mention that the sign-up registrations for flag football have started. So if anybody's interested in signing up their children for flag football, please go out to the recreation website, and there's links out there for the application, and get those turned in as soon as possible. And we have the art gallery reception on September 6th, which is a Friday from 7 to 9. Touch a Truck is coming back on September 14th. And the Fall Craft Show is scheduled for October 12th. Thank you.
Madam President? Councilman Hallam, you forgot that tomorrow is the deadline to register your garage sale for Garage Sale Day.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to say that he said flag football.
I meant to earlier.
Man.
I forgot. So thank you.
So tomorrow is the deadline to register your garage sale for Garage Sale Day. And on a more serious note, we had a horrific incident of domestic partner violence in Willoughby Hills recently, and it made the news, and it was just absolutely tragic. And I just wanted to take a minute to say that one in four women is a victim of domestic partner violence in our country. Every year, almost around 800, sometimes more, reports of domestic violence are made to the police in Lake County alone, and those are just what's reported. And so if anyone is feeling threatened in their home, any women are feeling threatened, they're worried about their children, they need to get help. We have a great resource in Lake County called Forbes House, and they have a 24-hour helpline for anyone who is concerned about domestic violence, a victim of domestic violence, or feeling threatened by their domestic partner. It's 440-357-1018. Again, that's Forbes House, and it's 440-357-1018.
Madam President, one other thing, not to step over that, but I did want to mention with the garage sale, as Councilwoman Pismo said, the application dates are due by tomorrow, and that's to get your garage sale to show up on the list, which will be out on the website on July 29th. After that you decide to have a garage sale, you may have it, but just know you may not be on the list. Thank you.
Madam President? Our neighbor from Lynn Drive can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's an upcoming neighbor-to-neighbor meal at St. Noel's Church on August 1st at 5:30. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the St. Noel's Church neighbor-to-neighbor meal, it is a free meal provided by the church. Donations are certainly welcome, but the whole community is invited. I've seen everyone from Akron to Ashtabula residents come. It's a really wonderful event. The chef and the volunteers just do an amazing job, and and the food really brings the community together. Although, as they always say at the start of the neighbor-to-neighbor meal, it's not about the food, it's about the community. Although some people laugh because they really love the food. The chef is extraordinary, and the volunteers do an incredible job of bringing our community together. So if you've never been, 5:30 p.m., absolutely free at the Banquet Center at St. Noel's Church on Chardon Road. I go regularly myself. I know many people in the audience do as well. So a reminder, this August 1st.
Councilman Peavy.
St. Noel Church is also asking for used wheelchairs on August 10th from 9 to 1 o'clock in the St. Noel Church parking lot across the street from us. They're asking for the Wheels for the World program, which is a nonprofit that anybody who has used wheelchairs to please bring them to them. No walkers, canes, crutches, or electric wheelchairs, but these will be sent to those that are in need. If there's any questions, they can contact 440-946-1605. And a shout-out to the Greg Christmas Tree Farm. It's Christmas in July, but over on Eddy Road, we've had pretty much a Willoughby Hills institution, and at the Ohio State Fair, they were awarded first place for their blue spruce, and their white pine was in third place in the pine division. So the next stop is the National Christmas Tree Contest, August 9th in Pennsylvania, and the winner of that has the opportunity to take their tree to the president's house or the vice president's house. So that's kind of a quite an honor here for a local tree farm. So good for them. Kudos.
Madam President, I have one last thing. I don't know if anybody mentioned it. On the 27th is our First Covenant Car Show, 9 to 3.
John did earlier, did I think, but thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, but thank you.
No, the mayor beat me to it, so you're the third person.
I am. Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Madam President, one more thing. Just a reminder again that August 6th, Tuesday, August 6th, is voting day. You can vote from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. in the Willoughby Hills Community Center or Calvary Church, wherever you normally vote. The only issue is the Willoughby East Lake School levy. You can also early vote at the Board of Elections now until Election Day. The day before Election Day.
One more. Madam President, we have typically had a recess in August, and I did see on our website that August, the two dates in August are listed. So, and at times we have declared that there is a recess in this last meeting of July. So can I ask what the wishes are to for the meetings in August?
I would have to wait and see if there's anything that we would need to address in August that we could not, would have to be addressed before the September meeting. I know there are some of us on this council table that will be on vacation for a couple weeks in August. So I don't have the numbers now whether we would have quorums or not, but I will monitor that for council. Right now, I would say that we probably would adjourn until the regular council meeting of September 12th.
Okay. Then I move to adjourn until the regular council meeting of September
12th.
12th.
Second.
I have motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Lenz to adjourn the meeting until the regular council meeting of September 12th.
Madam President, I do want to clarify that this is not making a motion to adjourn so that council is somehow blocking itself from meeting if necessary.
You can always call a special.
Right, correct. Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Plushnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hollum?
Yes.
Meeting's adjourned at 8:42 until the regular council meeting of September 12th. Thank you, everybody.